You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
But, believe it or not, the mercy of God, 2 years later, I'm elected the captain of the safety patrol. And he even got a free trip to Washington, D.C.
Oh, that's amazing.
With other captains, yeah. But it was, like Paul Harvey said, the rest of the story, yeah.
Yeah, the rest of the story.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, but Hughes Avenue was... I'll share this with you. I keep talking about Hughes Avenue and people, everybody's interested in their own street. But, Brett, 40 years later, after we had moved off the street, other neighbors were beginning to move into different homes. Our local newspaper, 40 years later, wrote an article, and there's a picture that they used in this book of the children on that street. And what they said was some wonderful things about the community. They even named most of the parents by name, you know, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so and so-and-so. And it created something of... very interesting article to read. So what I have to say is sort of backs up everything that I had written there.
Now, your father
started
this company with asbestos pants. Well, and you prospered at this later in life, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well,
of course, you had to find out that asbestos was a killer later on.
Oh, my word. Yeah.
I'm surprised. Did it kill your father? No.
No, we lost two people that were heavy smokers, and that was the difference. There were two men, but the other people lived. My aunt worked for us, and she lived to be 90.
Were you exposed to?
I was exposed terribly. Yeah.
And why are you not suffering?
By the grace of God. Yeah, I often say that.
So explain that to people what these suits are.
Yeah, well, it was...
Did the other brothers go in with it, or was it just you by yourself?
I have a younger brother that also came into the company. Now, what had happened, that company actually dissolved, that my father found it.
Yeah.
And my brother and myself started our own company.
Okay, why did the other one dissolve?
The amount of lawsuits and everything that came from asbestos... It killed us.
So you went and made suits. Now, for firefighters or for who?
No, for steel mills. Mainly
steel mills. Why do they need us? Oh, because of the fire retardant or
asbestos is illegal in America.
Now, but would you make these new suits out of?
Well, it just happened at the time. The lawsuits were so bad that everybody was being crippled and going out of business and what have you, that they had to develop new materials. So there was Kevlars and Nomex and other things that were developed.
If you have that on, do you get burned or no?
No.
Not even from the heat?
Well, what they do, they aluminize it to reflect the heat away from you.
So you don't feel anything?
Well, you have to, it depends what job you have.
If you have that molten iron there.
Yeah, the molten metal, yeah. And that's what you really had to protect the steel workers from.
And that wouldn't melt under the heat of the iron ore? No?
No.
How could they make something so impervious? No.
The American ingenuity.
Wow.
Yeah. So, it was very interesting. But it happened that asbestos had to be replaced. It had to be replaced. And industry needed a replacement. So, these things were developed.
And in case somebody's listening to this who doesn't understand, asbestos was a product. I believe it's a natural product, is it not?
Yes, it is. It comes from a rock, mainly from Canada.
And they would use this in all. They would use it for keeping a house warm in the winter.
Yeah, right? And asbestos shingles on a house.
Yeah.
The roof and the siding. Yeah.
And then they found out later on that these little fabric of it would get into your lungs and kill you.
Exactly. Yeah, asbestosis. Yeah.
So that's why your father ended up losing his corporation, but you started another one, and you found this new material.
Right.
Did you prosper?
Yes, very much so. Yeah, very much so. We had a very successful business, and so.
Who's running it today?
Well, my brothers and I sold my interest to another gentleman, and my brother Barry stayed with the business. He came in the business with me, and so he stayed. He's my second youngest brother. There was a big age difference, so he stays there with the business. So he's still there, and we usually employed 35 to 50 people at a time, depending how busy you were. And U.S. Steel was our biggest customer. So it was a wonderful experience.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, your book, Growing Up in the Greatest Generation by Frank Clymer, and you've just released this in after all these years. You're 60. No, you're 50. You're 80. 87?
Yeah.
Oh, so you're 3 years shy of 90.
Yeah,
which is commonplace down here. My best friend was over recently for dinner last night. Well, he's 96, and my best female friend, she's 91.
Wow.
And he still runs his real estate firm. So, and will turn 97 in June. So tell us another story before we have to go today. Growing up in the Greatest Generation. Tell us a story that will give us insight into why you wrote this book. People love stories.
Okay. Well, my main purpose was to show what life was like, you know, growing up. We always read accounts of adults writing the book from their perspective, or they read what somebody else wrote. But this is an eyewitness account as I saw it as a young boy.
Sort of like a J.D. Salinger? Catcher in the Rye?
No.
Remember how he wrote from a child's point of view?
No, I never read that.
And it doesn't matter, but you wrote this from your as a 12-year-old, you wrote this.
Right, yeah. And where was I going to go with
this? Well, with your memory. Your memory takes you back to this and, you know, a story that will reflect why somebody might want to order Growing Up in the Greatest Generation by Frank Clymer.
Maybe the main thing is the patriotism that was shown through the Second World War. We were so proud of our country, and no sacrifice was too much. We lost, as a community, 17 young men had died for our country at that time.
And what was the population of your community then?
2,500 people. Yeah, but I think that might have included Percocet. That was the total, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, but still a lot of,
I think 80 million people were killed during World War II.
I don't know.
80. Yeah.
80. Was it that many?
Yeah. That's what I was told.
Yeah.
But did you watch World War II in color yet? Do you have Netflix?
No.
Okay.
But I love to study. I've read a lot about World War II, you know. I have a lot to say, and I talk about it in the book. I had two uncles that fought in the war, two in the United States Army. One joined right as the war started, went to Germany, and had quite a history over there. And the other one quit school in order, which a lot of boys did, to fight in the Army. And he went to the Philippines and fought over there too. And then this is of interest, right? I had two other uncles that fought in the Russian army.
Really?
My mother's side is Russian-Polish, my father's main one.
They got to Berlin. German. They got to Berlin before us.
Yeah, but sad to say, they were both killed.
Oh.
They were both killed. So I never got to know them at all. But there was a definite, you know, tie there.
Don't you? You look back when you know you? If anybody studies World War II, you wonder humans. You know, no wonder God repented of having made man.
Yeah.
Because of the we rape each other, steal from each other, war, just killing.
I know, it's so sad. It never ends, and I think from it all, if we can learn. As believers, that the problem is really a spiritual problem. Like in America, the morality's out the door, Although I see signs of maybe revival coming back.
Yeah.
And so as believers, I encourage people. We get discouraged so easy, but encourage people to keep the faith and keep pushing and praying. But we have to do more than pray. We have to be involved to do it. And Brett, again, I thank you for what you do to promote America and remind us all continually. Yeah, you're a blessing.
Well, that's kind of you to say.
That's the truth.
Well, you don't know that.
I do.
How do you know?
Because I know what you stand for. Yeah.
Growing up in the greatest generation, Frank Clymer. And, to talk about being worthy, I think this is worthy of me giving a copy of this to my friend David Walsh, who co-hosts with me sometimes. He's the 96-year-old, about to turn 97, and myself, because I think if we read this, I know he's going to love it.
Yeah.
But I love anything to do with World War II. I don't know why. I have a fixation on it or a fascination with it. It's not a good. It's very dark. But, if Sir Winston Churchill had not become the Prime Minister of England, we might all be talking German.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Frank Clymer, I hope you'll come back again. Growing up in the greatest generation.
Yeah.
And thank you. God bless you. Be with you. I appreciate your new friendship with me.
Thank you very much.
You can always use a friend, especially one that knows the Lord.
Yeah.
We all need friends. And as we said,
that we do. Yeah.
Sam Walton said, who started Walmart, said, individuals don't succeed. Yeah. Teams do.
Yeah.
And if you're feeling lonesome and isolated, go out and be part of a team, join a church.
Yeah.
Help feed the hungry, clothe the naked.
Yeah.
Do something.
Do something.
Visit some child in a cancer center or some older person who's lonesome in a nursing home.
Yeah.
Everybody has the power to give dignity. I don't care if you don't have a penny in your pocket. You have power. Mm. Better power than billionaires. Their money's going to disappear.
That's right. Your
acts of kindness will live forever in the heart of God, and he will repay.
Yeah.
God bless you. God bless America. Jesus is Lord. And thank you, Frank Clymer, growing up in the greatest generation.
Thank you.
Tune in again Monday at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.